Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
The best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Got some entertainment news coming up for you in a little bit. We're also going to get into some fun stuff. We've got the 10 best fast food joints. We're going to talk about that. Looking forward to it. But, of course, it's 9 o'clock hour on a Monday. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. I have to start today's show with an apology.
Finally! It's about time you apologize to me.
Hmm. What do I have to apologize to you for?
You seriously have to ask?
Actually, yeah. If anything, you should apologize to me.
What? Why?
Okay, all right, you two, cut it out. For the sake of our listeners, Melissa, please just make your apology and let's move on with the show.
All right.
Fine.
Yeah.
I actually need to apologize to you, James.
What? Me? Why?
Because I pick on you a lot about not cooking, and while you're a good sport about it, it's really not very nice.
Thanks. I feel like I don't know what's coming. Thanks.
Okay, the thing is, you're not alone in feeling uncertain when it comes to your abilities in the kitchen. In the effort of making this segment appealing to everyone, today we're going to talk about the population in our society who don't feel confident in their cooking abilities.
Finally! Rookie Kitchen Warriors unite! Now's our chance. We're taking over the Kitchens Open segment and making it ours. Next on the Kitchens Open, DoorDash hacks. How to get your food quicker and spend even more money.
Forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think that's quite what she means.
I know, but it sounded really good, especially in my head.
Yeah, so. Right.
But I'm glad you're finally acknowledging those of us who didn't have your mother. Melissa, teaching you every little tip and trick how to make amazing dishes in the kitchen. Mom, call in. Call in, please. That's not a shout at you. I know you tried to teach me, and I just didn't pay attention, honestly. I was busy usually grabbing things on high shelves. Yeah, that's what right. I was doing.
You're not the only one, James. There are quite a few moms and dads out there who simply don't have the time or inclination to hold kitchen classes for their kids. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just more a reflection on our society as a whole than a shot at any moms or dads out there.
Heck, most of us don't know what we're cooking for dinner until we get into the kitchen to start prepping at 4, 5, or 6 o'clock, let alone giving a full-blown cooking class for a 14-year-old who has zero interest in learning the intricacies, of what it takes to assemble the perfect lasagna.
Now let's take a moment to honor the fact that July is Lasagna Awareness Month. Thank you, Pat Krylow.
DaysOfTheYear.com states, the dish offers endless possibilities for customization, catering to meat lovers, vegetarians, and even those with a vegan diet. Plus, who needs an excuse to enjoy more of this delicious meal? Lasagna Awareness Month is a whole month where you can indulge in or discover new twists on this classic dish.
Well done, Seth.
Yes.
Back to the topic at hand. Let's look at some statistics.
Yes, my favorite.
Okay. In an article posted on Delish.com on September 12th of 2011, note that date,
okay.
It states that a survey found 28% of Americans can't cook. They only surveyed a little over 1,000 men and women aged 25 and older, and the article said 28% cited not knowing how to cook, 25% said not wanting to clean up afterwards was the reason.
Jeez.
21% said they didn't have enough time to cook. And 51% said they did not cook because their spouse or partner does the cooking.
That's interesting.
Do you think of those statistics, boys?
Well, I think one thing, and just a little like kind of gray area here. I think a lot of people, especially if you're just doing a man on the street thing, and say, "Hey, can you cook?" A lot of us are almost hesitant to say we can, even though we can cook maybe a couple of meals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If that happened to me, I'd say no. Even though I can make pasta, mm-hmm. I can make some Italian meals. I got a handful of things I could do, tacos, stuff like that.
Right.
But we're talking like four or five meals I know how to make. Like, that's
okay,
it.
But So that's four or five meals.
That's true.
That's enough to feed yourself for the week.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of people may know more than they realize, but when it comes to the what we grow up with, the majority of us, with cooking, actual cooking in the household, the majority of people do even have. Well, compared to my mother or compared to my grandmother or Melissa's mom or something like that, right. I would never say that I know how to cook. I wonder how much that plays into it, too. And I think, too, one of the things that we're missing when it comes to being in the kitchen, and I didn't realize this for a long time, confidence. Yeah. Having some confidence in what we're doing.
Right.
It's a big deal to make a meal for somebody. If you're cooking for yourself, it's not as bad. You know, you don't worry as much. But
if you mess it up, it's fine.
Yeah. When you're cooking for others. So for a lot of people, I think that when it comes to it, like, oh, even if it's, again, stranger on the street asking you or you're filling out a blind survey, like, oh, they might ask me to cook. I don't know about that. I wonder how much some of these things factor in, along with what you're saying, Melissa, about just growing up and not being taught a lot of the basics in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, I used to think, you know, it's like, oh, you go off on your own and then you learn to cook. No, you don't. Like you were just saying, James, it's hard to cook for one person. It really is. Cooking for a group is so much easier to motivate yourself and all those sorts of things in order to do it. So, yeah, I mean, and I'm with you on the whole, you know, one or two recipes. I think a lot of us are there. And for whatever reason, we learned them, like, from our family or we stumbled across it at some point. It's like, hey, I remember when I, you know, would have my sister over when I was single. And I found this meatloaf recipe, and I think for the next five times, that's all I made was this one kind of meatloaf.
So your sister, like, why is this the only food you serve
exactly.
me? Do you think I, like, love meatloaf or something? What's up, dude?
I had, like, the first, like, three or four girlfriends I had, I would make pasta for them. And they'd be, oh, this is great. He's making dinner and all this. Yeah. And then they'd expect me to, like, this is all I can cook. Like
that's all I got.
Like, this is it. Like, if you want pasta, I can do that. But they were kind of expecting me to be cooking, like, other meals.
All
and other things.
Like that,
Oh, man. Started something I could not finish there.
Well, that's actually what you said, Seth, about being able to cook for one person. It is hard. And the fact that my mom did teach me how to cook in quantity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have a real problem cutting recipes down to size. So cooking for myself, I end up with, oh, okay, I guess this is what I'm eating all week.
Right. Hope you have freezer space.
All right, well, let's jump ahead to an article from GroceryDive.com that was published in now 2018. They state 85% of consumers don't know what they're having for dinner until hours before mealtime, leading many to choose convenience foods from a restaurant, meal kit, or grocery deli, according to a survey from Acosta and Technomic reported by Food Navigator. The survey found millennials are more likely to buy prepared foods from a grocery store or a restaurant, but Generation Z is likely to outspend them in these channels.
And that kind of makes sense when you think about it, about how our food is prepared and that sort of thing. It is very much a convenience thing. Because, I mean, think about it. Back in the day, when we were kids, you know, there was takeout food, but there was only a couple of kinds that generally did that. You had your pizzas. You had your Chinese food. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And you're not going to want to eat that every night. But now you have a much more variety to choose from, you know, any restaurant that's in the true. Area because of, like, you know, DoorDash and all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
So I think it make the variety itself helps so people are more, you know, likely
it's
to
easier.
Order it. Yeah, it's easier, of course. It costs more, too.
Variety. But,
yeah, exactly.
You can pretty much get anything you want, depending on the size of the town you live in.
Exactly.
And we've talked many times about how healthier food is more expensive.
And makes it harder to,
That part of it, that factors into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, too, that they would get convenience foods through a meal kit. I mean, those are becoming far more popular.
Yes.
Or even a grocery deli.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. Very interesting. The article goes on to say the survey found food delivery services such as Grubhub and Uber Eats are increasingly popular with young consumers, with 44% of millennials reporting using them in the past 3 months. Compared to with 1 in 5 of all U.S. consumers, nearly 20% said that they'd used meal kits in 2017, compared to 8% 2 years earlier.
Wow.
That's a
big jump.
Yeah. In just in two years.
Yeah, wowza. Yeah.
Now, that and this is all pre-pandemic, too.
Yeah, exactly. This is all
keeping in mind.
We're still now in 2018, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think that's something to keep in mind, too, because I think I know my mind immediately went, well, the pandemic changed. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's before the pandemic.
So, yes.
That's something that is interesting to think of leading into it as
right.
well.
It was already trending that way. Exactly.
We were leaning that much on our fast food industry leading into the pandemic. And then, of course, the pandemic happens and we don't have that as much.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to jump ahead 2 years to June of 2020. Pandemic. The article on treehugger.com titled "Americans Still Aren't Cooking Much from Scratch" says that in spite of the pandemic, takeout food orders actually increased. The author cites a survey conducted in 2019 that found that only 20% of Americans cook daily. Wow. That doesn't mean that 80% can't cook. It's just that they don't.
Right. And going back to what I was saying before about during the pandemic, before the pandemic, we lead into it that way. Mm-hmm. Pandemic happens, and there were more people using fast food, but we had less fast food places. And not everybody was able to keep alive or keep even open during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So then your choices even go down even slimmer. And then we see during that time also a rise in prices of foods when it comes to that and everything. And that factors into it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there was a little bit of a surge of people cooking at home, I would say, during the pandemic. Because a lot of people didn't have any other option.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you lived in a rural place where
there wasn't food delivery at all.
No food delivery. You had to cook from home.
Naively, I really thought there was going to be a renaissance with this, where you were going to see more and more people coming out of the pandemic wanting to cook for themselves, wanting to cook at home, and really kind of taking over that and almost going backwards in some ways with the fast food industry and seeing less and less people using the fast food thing. More of what it was always intended to be, I think, and not an everyday thing or a food source even, but something fun to do or an activity. We're going to go out with the kids, or I'm going to go out with my partner or something like that, and we're going to go do something like that.
Right.
Well, and I do think that there was some effort by people to help keep the restaurant industry alive during the pandemic by ordering takeout food.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Because you couldn't go there in person. So,
right.
Your favorite mom and pop restaurant, like, we want to keep them alive. So we're going to try to eat there once a week. Just with with contactless delivery or whatever option they had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's talk about this article from studyfinds.org called "Half of Americans Struggle Cooking Easy to Make Dishes Like Pancakes and Pasta." It was written by Chris Mellor on January 10th, 2022, with an update about a year later in 2023. So Chris says in this article that in a survey of 2,000 adults, 56% mess up easy-to-make dishes, and 59% feel embarrassed about not being able to cook certain foods the right way.
The article goes on to say, although 7 in 10 respondents confidently consider themselves natural-born cooks, 71% 71% do that. 83% of those who mess up easy, quote-unquote, easy dishes confess it makes them feel like a failed chef.
That happens to me, too.
Wow.
If I make something and it absolutely bombs, I'm like, oh, well, I feel like a failure right now.
I
cook a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, you cook, I think, a lot more than I cook for my family, but it's nothing special. Natural born cooks, huh? Boy, I have to. Cooking takes a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Watch any celebrity chef or one's got a TV show or anything like that, and you look at them go, and it's like, wow, look at them go. Mm-hmm. That's because they've done it 100 million times.
Yeah, yeah.
It's repetition. It's like anything else. You got to work on it.
Well, and knowing what, so you watch them taste a dish,
mm-hmm.
and then they add something. How did they know what to add? That
takes practice. Yep.
Knowing whether, this is missing a salt, mm-hmm. or this is missing an acid, mm-hmm. or this is missing what's the other flavor, like an umami,
yep.
it needs needs a little sugar to bring out these other flavors.
Yep.
That all takes practice and repetition. You're not going to just be born knowing how to do that. Sorry.
Hundreds of times, thousands of times. Yep.
I must have seen my Nana or my grandmother cook a million meals, a million, or bake a million different things, and I never once saw them look at a recipe.
Nope.
Not once. Like it's right, by the time that I met these people, they had been doing this for quite some time.
It's pretty, yep.
And they had this down.
Yep.
Like, to your guys' point, I think that that's something to keep in mind if you are trying to make new meals or trying to get in the kitchen more and cook more and everything. Mm-hmm. It's going to take reps. It's going to take time, like every good thing does.
You don't learn it through osmosis.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
No. Otherwise, James would be fantastic.
I would be so good at this. Be so good at
it. All right. Well, the article continues. The hardest easy meal to make, according to the poll, are pancakes, with 38% saying they struggle to make a good batch of flapjacks. Meanwhile, a third of respondents struggle to make simple dishes like eggs, pasta, mashed potatoes, or sweet potatoes.
The other easy foods people have messed up listed in the article include mac and cheese, soup, rice, grilled chicken, and fish.
Now, I would say that some of those you just listed off there, Seth, are actually rather difficult to cook.
Fish.
It's hard to make good grilled chicken that isn't dried out.
Yes, fish is also one that can be very tricky.
Oh,
and it
I
depends
mess up
on
fish every
what
time.
Kind I'm, of fish you're using. Yeah. And yeah, it's really.
I'm actually afraid to cook fish. Seriously.
I believe you. Which is too bad because, man, if you make certain fish a certain way. Man, walleye. Oh, I love walleye. So good.
I've had some really, really good fish. Mm-hmm. But I'm always afraid it's not done enough or that, you know, I'm going to, it's going to be too dried out. Like, there's so many questions with fish.
Mm-hmm.
There, I've only been doing it for about 10, 15 years. But from the first time I cooked salmon, I just had it down. I had the timing down.
Oh, nice.
It was really good. Turned out well. I've never had salmon not turn out very good. I have messed up mac and cheese. I have messed it up on more than one occasion for my brother and sister making it for them as kids, where they looked at it and like, we're not eating that.
Yeah.
We're
not Why is this soup,
yeah,
James?
Yeah,
like, we have mac and soup.
It's not supposed to be moving on its own, is it? It's not, quote unquote, easy meals to make. Anybody can mess them up. And again, just take some time and some getting, you know, giving yourself some grace with these things too. Mm-hmm. I will say one of the things that plays on this and this when it comes to this though in that process is like other things where maybe I didn't hit the marker I wanted to in my mile, but I'll get it tomorrow or something like that. Mm-hmm. With this, and then you add on some of the other factors we've talked about in this segment, the rise of the price of food.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden when you mess up that meal, it hits even harder because that's wasted.
That cost me a lot of money.
And so we are a little more hesitant to try, I think, some of these things. It's all the more reason why I feel like we need to though. Not that I want us wasting money or spending money or anything, but think about once you do get good at it, you will be spending less and using less more than likely.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Well, here's some good news for those of you who persevere after making a failed recipe. It seems that the fourth time may be the charm. The survey said on average, either people will get the dish right by the fourth time or they'll just give up entirely.
Wow, four. That's pretty remarkable. I love the idea that people keep trying, though, and get at least to the four. But that, you know, that does make sense to me. I think if I would have gotten to the fourth time and it's like, and I'm just still not getting it, I'm like, no, I'm not getting, for whatever reason, I can't get this.
One of the tougher things in life is realizing, am I struggling at this and I just need time and more reps? Or am I not, I just shouldn't
Never
be doing this. This is not me. This is not me.
Well, you know, a home-cooked meal also doesn't need to be made entirely from scratch. DelishKnowledge.com recommends combining ready-made foods with some homemade items to streamline efficiency and reduce the chance of failure.
Mm-hmm. The website states healthy meals don't have to be synonymous with complicated. The health benefits of a home-cooked meal outweigh almost any other method of eating, no matter the recipe. You can control the amount of added salt, sugar, and fat when you cook at home. It's also easier to control portion sizes at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can combine a ready-made entree and then make your side dishes to go with it.
Mm,
yeah. You know, something easy like that. It cuts down on your prep time. It makes it go quicker. Or buy some of those ready-made things. Like, you can get rice already cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And ready to just heat up out of the package.
I've used that before. It actually didn't turn out that bad at all. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Breakfast foods are a great place to practice and a great place to feel, get some confidence in cooking. I found that at least. I love breakfast foods, and I wanted to be able to make waffles. I wanted to be able to make pancakes and these things. And you just do it and do it and do it and get a little bit better at it. And I think that some of those items aren't as cost heavy as some others too.
One of my favorite things to make is eggs.
Yeah,
and all the different ways you can do it. Yeah, yeah. I just enjoy it. I don't know why. I just enjoy making eggs.
My dad is always smiling when he's making eggs. Yeah. I don't know why, but yes,
eggs are good.
They are.
Well, and there is another reason to continue to cook. Cooking can reduce stress and boost creativity. Getting into the kitchen more builds confidence, and learning to cook can bring a sense of accomplishment.
Boy, that ain't that the truth. When you get a good thing put together, man.
Yeah, well said.
And when you have people to eat, or even yourself to enjoy after. So I made a new recipe last night, and it was basically cabbage in a sauce with chickpeas and some vegetables.
Ooh.
And it turned out so good. And it was pretty simple.
Nice.
Yeah. And I had it over rice. And now I'll be eating the leftovers all week.
You made too much.
Made a lot.
Yep.
Well, I think we better wrap it up here, boys. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Kitchen's Open.
If you'd like to sponsor this segment, please call Pam at our front desk.
That number is 715-424-1300. That's 715-424-1300.
Nicely done.
Don't you need to repeat it like four times for them to be on? With that, we'll close The Kitchen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melissa.
That's a wonderful. Great one, Melissa. A lot of great conversation there. That was fun. Be listening every Monday for another episode of The Kitchen's Open. And get in on that sponsorship, everybody.
Yeah.
Get your name attached to that. Give our front desk a call, 424-1300. We'll be back with more show coming up right here at WFHR. Tell me something. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We got... Oh, geez. What did I just do? I turned the monitor off.
Turn your monitor
off. I just slammed into it.
You're still good.
Well, we got to take a phone call anyway. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, I'm not no Siskel and Ebert, but I got your report for Friday's movie of Whiskers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I appreciate that, Kevin. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I was hoping you'd call it. You saw Twisters over the weekend. You along with many other Americans, made that movie the most popular movie in America over the weekend. What did you think of it?
Well, first and foremost, is that now I know why I don't go to the movie theater.
Oh.
Between admission and the big tub of popcorn and two large sodas, it was $40.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know it.
Crazy.
And and then you don't get your free refill on the popcorn. If you finish your popcorn, you want some more. You don't even get the free refill anymore.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone gets through one hole with those, but anyway.
Otherwise, I did get my big box of dots, though, too. That was...
That is interesting. That's right.
Gotta have the dots.
But as for the movie, started out, I almost got to the point of thinking, oh, boy. What? Because it was really... I mean, it gave the backstory, like they did with... the first movie, they gave a backstory to it, why the person was into it, but it kind of started off pretty rough. But as the movie went on, it got better. And then toward the end, I was basically sitting at the end of my seat, tensed up, while there was an incident going with a tornado, and it was like, oh boy, you know, you're kind of tensing up with everybody. But it was a good movie. I mean, I would suggest to go see it. Or see it, period. You know, if it's going to come on streaming soon or what. But it was a good movie. I would go see it again, but not
very cool. It seems like a perfect movie theater movie. It was a good movie to see in the theaters. What did you feel that way about it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. You get the more of the special effects on it. Mm-hmm. It would have been kind of cool because I think Terry told me or somebody else told me they just didn't have it in 3D in Wausau. They don't have it 3D here in Rapids, but 3D would have been really cool to see some of this stuff, you know, as things are flying around. It showed more compared to what the first movie came out with. this showed, you know, more destruction in towns, especially smaller towns, and how some of those bigger storms are.
Interesting.
I mean, they showed the destruction, and I mean, that is the reality of a tornado, especially if they're bigger tornadoes, of what could happen.
One of the up and coming. I mean, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it was just really neat how they did everything.
Yeah.
I guess at the beginning it was kind of corny and some of the stuff that they were doing, but as the movie went on, it got better.
Okay. One of the bigger names, rising stars out there right now, really since Top Gun Maverick, is Glenn Powell. How was his performance?
That's where the corniness was at the beginning. I was going to kind of talk about the actor, but I couldn't think of his name, so I'm glad you brought that up. He was kind of arrogant. He was arrogant at the beginning of the movie, and they had him as the tornado wrangler. And he was kind of like he was in Maverick, really arrogant. But as the movie went on, and you kind of got to see the softer side of him, of that character, and the vulnerability of his character, and it was good. Like I said, it started out a little weird for me, but as the movie went on, it got pretty good.
I appreciate that,
cool,
Kevin.
Yeah,
I always appreciate the feedback from you and our great listeners. I do want to remind our listeners: be on the lookout for our new show, Real Reviews with Kevin and James. It's coming, everybody. We're just working on the bumper. But I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for the call. You have a good one.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate that.
The first 15 minutes of the show is just complaining how expensive movies are.
Yes, yes.
That's garbage.
That's exactly what it would be. It'd be for me, at least.
Yeah, right.
I'll say that. Twisters shocks the third biggest opening of the year at $80.5 million. A lot of people went and saw it, enjoyed it, like Kevin did. It is something. We'll go to break here in a second. We'll come back and wrap up our entertainment. But I did want to mention something he said there that has been going on for quite some time with movies. Theaters, and it seems like the movie theaters were way ahead of inflation. Like they've been doing this for like 20 years, and now inflation has just caught up with them.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
They've been able to do this in part because certainly the rise of what it costs to make a movie,
right,
and some of that, and so much of the money that is put into movies. Mm-hmm. So movie theaters have had to raise their prices in many ways, but they've also done something to themselves with the industry where they have monopolized the industry, and you're seeing more and more, including our own local theater, more and more places deciding, no, I'm not going to play this nationally released movie in my market. Or I am going to play this movie in my market because of whether it's political choices or beliefs or other ends of that spectrum. And that is not what movie theaters should be. Movie theaters should not be about you and your ownership. It should be about people and people getting to see movies, especially in more rural communities. When you have these limited released movies, I'd like to see some movie theaters actually fighting to get those in theaters in rural areas so that more people can see them instead of them being the guards, the gatekeepers of, you're not going to see this movie in my theater or some of that, which we have seen.
It's just silly.
It makes me do something that is against my core and going against a local business. But I refuse to, for one, put into businesses that do not put into this community. And now, how many times have you seen that advertisement with any other business or any other thing or any sporting event or anything like that? But it's also this monopolizing that has happened that has made it almost impossible for a family of four to go see a movie. A family of two, a family of one, a guy and his girl, a girl and a girl, whatever.
Yep.
Any combination, it's going to be $40-$50 to go see a movie. And you're going to have more and more people that aren't able to do that, which is going to make it that much harder on us to be keeping movies alive and keeping the industry alive.
Right. At least in this form. It may change the distribution part of it.
Like many things, this is not just a one thing problem. It is the movie theaters and the monopolization of that, and the fact that, well, if you want to see a movie, you got to come to me. You got no other choice. And the movie industry just being insane with how much these movies cost. Stop making $500 million movies, and you don't have to charge as much. Stop making three-hour epics that nobody wants to see.
No, 2 hours is plenty long enough.
Right,
yes,
right.
Yes. It's a twofold fact that if all of these factors don't smarten up, the movie industry is never going to die, mm-hmm. but it's not going to look anything like what it used to.
Right.
And we're going to get away from that. And you're going to get more and more people not wanting to go to the movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And one of the more fun experiences you can have as
it
a
is.
Person.
It is. There's nothing like going to the movies.
Can I just throw out there that I know you're going to be all shocked, but I went to the movie theater.
Wow.
Wow.
Right. I went and saw Twisters.
Oh, nice.
I went with Brittany Merlot, our mm-hmm. meteorologist, and just to throw out there the science behind as the movie went on, not in the very beginning.
Oh, it's never that cool.
Yeah, there's one thing you should never do, and it's one thing that they did in the beginning. but yes, she said that the science was really solid, and she was glad that they leaned into that, and then also the history of what has happened with tornadoes. Mm-hmm. They included some of that in the movie, which is really, really cool.
That's what you should do. Take a meteorologist to your Twisters movie. Oh, that's a smart. Good move on your part.
Oh, my God. I'd love that. Oh, I'd love that so much. Oh, that's cool. And so you enjoyed it, Melissa?
I did. I loved it. Good. But I also loved the first one. And yes, there was no Helen Hunt in this one, mm-hmm. which made me a little sad. But the gal that played the lead in this did a phenomenal job.
Cool.
Very cool.
I was very impressed.
Very cool.
And I'm going to go see it again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is impressive.
That is impressive
to me.
That
tells you something right there.
You must have really liked it, yeah.
I did. I really liked it.
Cool.
Be on the lookout, everybody, for our new show, Real Reviews with Kevin and Melissa.
Yeah.
It's coming up. We will get a break in. We'll come back with a little more news for you in the entertainment fold. And, of course, these top 10 fast food joints. We're getting to that before we wrap up on the morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Going to wrap up our entertainment section here now. Went a little long in one of the other segments, so I had to kind of cram this in here. But good stuff. Soundtrack to Deadpool and Wolverine, the new movie coming out. Mm-hmm. It includes Madonna's Like a Prayer.
Okay.
Interestingly. But Ryan Reynolds had to meet with Madonna personally to get her permission. He says, quote, Madonna doesn't just license the song, and particularly that song has not been licensed before in a movie.
Oh, really? Mm. Wow.
So it was a big deal to ask her for it, and certainly a bigger deal to use it. We went over and met with her and showed her how it was being used and where and why. And not only did Madonna give them the song, but she also gave them a note about how to make the particular scene better, and they used it.
Oh, wow. Good on them.
Reynolds says her idea was, quote, spot on and right, and they went with it. It was not a factor of them getting the song or not. Right. This was something she threw out there, and this is long before they were actually even in the filming process.
Okay.
So, you know, they do these things months, if not a year beforehand. Otherwise, when they're filming, and, we got to get Madonna's permission about like a prayer, and they can't use it, well, then all that filming you just did is for nothing.
Right.
So it's an interesting note, too. Okay. Not for nothing, Madonna has worked so hard to be one of these artists that actually owns the majority of her work.
She does, yeah.
So I think that, for one, that is noteworthy about her and her career and her legacy, and she's one of those artists that really paved the way for many Taylor Swifts and other artists to try to learn to do this. But it also says something about her feelings about this movie and all that.
Well, it does. And the fact that she takes so much ownership of her past and her music. Yeah. I actually appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
That she, it's not just, because, you know, there's plenty of artists out there like, yeah, license it all over the place. Who cares? And there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that she cares enough, that's really cool.
You know, and one other thing with her, too, and just because of the song Like a Prayer and Like a Virgin and all these things that pop in my head, I don't know if I've ever heard her apologize. And I don't mean that's not a shot at her.
I know what you mean.
Like
yeah.
that, but she's had a lot of quote unquote controversies.
Right.
And usually when a controversy, quote unquote controversy happens, like the sex book she came out with or something, and it doesn't get received that well. So what has happened? A celebrity comes out and says, you know, I apologize, blah, blah, blah. I've never heard her do that.
Nope.
Like, the, you know, you like her or you don't, she is who she is.
She stuck to her guns. She really did. Her whole career has been like that.
Can't help but respect it for myself. Yeah. Travis and Jason Kelsey have teamed up with General Mills for their own cereal.
Jeez.
It's called Kelsey Mix. And it's technically not new. It just mixes their three favorite cereals. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yuck. All together?
Yeah,
gross.
Yeah. It'll be in stores in September. Jason says, quote, the only thing Travis and I know more about football than football is cereal. Get your money. Do your thing.
And there's no, I mean, how many times when we were kids did we see, you know, special cereals come out for like cartoon shows and all these things, you know?
They're still coming out. Yeah.
They do. They still do.
They just recently came out with a Wendy's Frosty flavor.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I'm telling you, Tom Brady is going into.
I was tempted.
Tom Brady is going into the broadcast booth. Right. And he is the, you know, by all rights, the GOAT. And many people are hyped up about that. Jason Kelce going into retirement. Whatever he does is going to dwarf whatever Tom Brady does, I think. I really do. I feel like that's a hot take, but. With not only him, his popularity he already had, and then you add on the Taylor Swift popularity, he's going to be huge.
And maybe it's just maybe he's hiding it really well, but everything Tom Brady does is calculated.
Yeah.
He calculates every move he makes. And partially that's because, you know, who he is. You know, all the fame and all that stuff that comes with it. So he's very careful about that. Jason Kelce strikes me as a guy that's just, here I am, everybody. Yes. This is me. I remember before the Super Bowl or around that time, just that video of him playing with his kids.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the coolest things ever. Yeah, just hanging out with his family kind of thing.
It was great.
I mean, you know, he didn't have to do that. And he's just like, hey, check it out. This is me playing with my kids. So
it's a great moment.
I think he's very cool.
It's a Muppety Monday, everybody. Woo. Encourage you to check out What the Muppet, the podcast that Bree and I work so hard on. And today's episode is the start of season 2.
All right.
Hey.
After your epic season 1.
Yes, the 40-some episode season 1. Imagination Portal kicks off our second season, and we're doing things a little bit differently now. So cool. This year, we have 4 hats, and the first hat is a movie. And we're talking all your big major movies and everything. We'll pull out a movie, and whatever movie we pull out, the next hat is a Muppet. And we pull out that Muppet, and whatever Muppet we grab, we cast them as the lead role. So say we have, we pull the Princess Bride and I pull out Beaker. So Beaker is Wesley.
Nice.
It's a little like that. Then we have other hats that we put these Muppets into in situations. But what we do with the movie is, okay, we have the lead role cast. Mm-hmm. Then we cast the rest of the movie with Muppets.
Nice. Perfect.
So I could see Sweetums as a very good,
Fezzik, the Andre the Giant. Yeah, right.
You know, some things like that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's, a little on the nose to put Miss Piggy as Princess Buttercup. I kind of like the idea of putting Janice as Miss Buttercup.
The bassist, yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. I'm not sure about this, man. We have a lot of fun with this one, and it was a banger of an episode. Great work by Bria. If you're curious, check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, you can go to YouTube and check out the video of it at What the Muppet. Encourage you to. And thank you so much to everybody who has supported this pod and helped us build this.
It's fun, man. We really appreciate you.
Our good friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater getting ready for It's a Madhouse. The production dates, August 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, get your tickets soon. They sell out fast.
They do.
Yeah. I actually tried to reach out to Gretchen to find out, should I talk about it? Did you guys already sell all the tickets? But we do want to promote it and celebrate it, because whether you can get tickets or not, this is a fun show. It's a Hopo production. Mm-hmm. And find out if they got tickets open. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. And keep in mind, auditions for their first main stage show of the 24 season, Drinking Habits, comes up August 12th and 13th. Those will be audition dates.
It's coming up fast.
Yeah. Super fast, man.
We're going to get to a timeout. We're going to come back, wrap up the show with the top 10 fast food joints coming up.
All right.
Morning Show, WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. And honestly, guys, I want to kind of pull an audible here a little bit. This top 10 fast food joints, this feels like more than a couple-minute segment. You want to save this for Friday? You want to save this for Friday?
Yeah, that's cool.
Sure.
Yeah,
right, we can take our time with it a little bit
Not
more.
Not a problem.
Good. Then we can get into some other good stuff here. I wanted to mention... certainly got some good stories of the day I thought we could wrap up on. A 14-year-old boy named Harold Teller launched a Harold's Hoops for Hope, which has raised thousands of dollars for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Ooh.
Wow.
It's nice. A nonprofit where they play basketball and do other different events to raise money and awareness.
Oh, that's really cool.
Again, this young man is 14.
Amazing.
His mom says it's all him. It's everything he envisions. He's an honor roll student, and he plays travel ball. And he finds time for this somehow.
Somehow?
Wow.
My goodness.
Oh, it's incredible.
That is so cool.
Habitat for Humanity got a team of workers from Total Roofing and Construction in Illinois to get an Air Force veteran a new roof for his home.
Awesome.
Wow.
The vet, Bruce Suggs, has been struggling ever since his 11-year-old granddaughter, Janice, was diagnosed with leukemia. But his leaky roof was fixed. Suggs gets emotional when he talks about it because the job would have cost him over $20,000.
That's quote, great.
It's like winning the lottery, he says.
Something as simple as that.
And another one here. Researchers at Georgia State University have found that antibodies in llamas might hold the elusive cure for HIV.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
A treatment that could neuralize nearly all strains of the virus would be a gigantic game changer in the fight against HIV and AIDS.
No kidding.
How about that?
And we may have llamas to thank for this.
Llamas are awesome.
Llamas.
They are amazing.
Llamas.
My sister's obsessed.
They spit.
They do spit. They do spit. You need to watch out for that. But thank you to the llamas out there. We appreciate it. That's pretty cool.
That is some, all you llamas.
Some pretty cool news, right?
Yeah.
I got some other good news for you, everybody. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, want to get to some local things. Want to make sure that we have time for that. That comes first. Seth, we wanted to let people know about our lineup for today. So let's get right into that.
Okay.
Of course, in just a little bit, you'll have Matt Nair on air. Be sure to join us for that. It's going to be a fun show. Jane and Greg do a great job on that one. Be on the lookout. We'll have Jane and Greg on the next director's cut as well.
That's
so we're
right.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
Right.
A little bit later today, the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Join Maggie as she is. I cannot wait to hear what Maggie has to say after the weekend.
Oh, man.
It'll be interesting, whatever it is.
She's going to have something for you, that's for sure. We're looking forward to that. And from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, Midday Magazine.
Yep.
Join us for that one, everybody. In part one, we're going to kick things off with our good friend from the Wood County Health Department. Nikki's going to join us in part one.
Okay.
And then at 4:30 today, the 77th Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heitzel is going to join us.
Hey, our new Alice. Very cool. Yeah.
You get to know her a little bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you will have Playmakers. We'll be here. I'll be here. It's a solo show for me today, everybody. I'll be running the show. So I'll need, but I'm not alone. I've got the best listeners in radio to join.
Call
me.
Up, everyone.
That's great.
Yeah, if you have sports thoughts and feelings, today's a good day for it because I'll be solo. So we'll watch it.
I won't be here and do a victory lap of the Brewers sweeping the Twins this weekend. So you can just get on it there.
Well, between that and Seth destroying me in fantasy baseball, he was not allowed into the show this week.
That was pretty crazy.
We got a great lineup for you, and we got other great things going on here in town I wanted to tell you about. Like, of course, these free meals for kids are still going on through the middle of August. Lunch is available at Mead Park near the Splash Pad up until August 16th from 11:30 to 12:30, and at Witter Park near the shelter outside of the Aquatic Center until August 16th from 11:30 to 12:30. Big thank you to everybody that makes that happen.
Yes.
And we have a blood drive going on today over at the Wisconsin Rapids, or former Eastern High School Music Room, at 311 Lincoln Street. That is going today from 2 to 7. Head on over there and donate if you can. We appreciate all you heroes out there doing so. Keep in mind, Stevens Point Blood Donation Center has openings almost every day for you. Reach out to them over there for that. And coming up this Friday, 10 to 3, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department is hosting a blood drive at 1511 12th Street South.
Very cool. Nice.
Very nice. Lots of opportunities, and the need is great.
It is, especially in the summertime.
If you can.
And Tuesday, we got a great event going on with our Wisconsin Rapid City Band.
This makes me so sad because there's only three more opportunities to see the city band, man. Mm-hmm. And it means we're running out of summer. No, sorry. But the next one is going to be really cool. It's happening tomorrow, of course, at Robinson Park. I know the weather's going to be a little iffy. So the backup is the pack at Lincoln High School, just in case everyone goes at 7:30. This week, they are being joined by the Swing Doctors. It's the dance party. The one they do every year. So join them for some great swing music. And it's an organization that's been around since, 1870?
Yeah.
The band, the city band in Rapids. So come and join them there. It's always a great show, everyone.
Yeah.
Great time.
And what time is that?
7:30 on Tuesday.
All right.
And, of course, our United Way has their Stuff the School Bus Desk Collaborative going on right now. If you can pick up extra supplies and drop them off, we greatly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And certainly sign up all those kiddos that need to be signed up. Get in there before August 1st. That is the cutoff time. Find out more at uwswac.org. And be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Seth, you guys are doing something cool over there at the Moravian Church.
One more reminder, or I keep reminding you, everybody, because the book sale is coming up this fall. So you've got till September 15th to bring over your summer reading, whatever books you got, bring them to the parking lot of the Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. We've got a bin outside. Just fill up the bin, and we will take whatever books you have for us.
Hmm. All right.
Keep in mind, I'm sorry, I apologize, everybody. The 24th is Wednesday. That is when that blood drive is taking place.
All right.
And that is also when the Raptors get done with the Northwood League All-Star break. That is going on until Wednesday. So keep that in mind. I won't have any Raptor baseball until then.
Yep.
And one more good story for you. A 26-year-old grad student at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, spent a year living at a senior living facility where she would share her love of music and playing the piano with the rest residents in exchange for free room and board.
Wow.
Hey.
She wasn't taking anyone's place. She was serving as a, quote, artist in residence.
Huh.
Cool.
Wow.
That's a pretty cool experience, actually. Man, that's pretty cool.
That may start a trend.
It might, actually.
It might start a trend. How about that?
And, you know, so many other things. That's something. I keep an eye on that one. That's going to be a story. Great show today, you two.
Yep. Yeah, it was fun, man.
Yeah, be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.